Okay, thank you, brother. We continue with our study from the book of Revelation, and we will be studying Revelation chapter 20 this evening. Let me just share my screen. Okay, got it here. All right, so Revelation chapter 20, and in this chapter, one of the important things that we will be studying is where Satan is going to be bound. And the first verse of chapter 20 read, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand." So here again, we see Apostle John is seeing this picture. He's looking at it and saying, and seeing that he saw an angel come down from heaven. When we look at this angel, this is not any special angel. It is not an archangel, but an angel coming down from heaven. And what does the angel have in his hands? Having the key of the bottomless pit. The bottomless pit is also otherwise called the abyss, or Hades, and besides that, he also has a great chain in his hand. So he's coming prepared for something very important. So we will see what it is, and in verse 2, he lays it out here. And it says in verse number 2, "And he laid hold on the dragon." Who is this dragon? It says, "That old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. So when we look at this one here, this ordinary, regular angel takes a hold of this dragon, which is the serpent, as we know in the book of Genesis, in the garden. And we see that this angel got a hold of this dragon or Satan or the devil and chained him up and bound him for 1,000 years. And this 1,000 years is the period of the millennium, which is 1,000 years. So when you look at this one here, in some minds of ours, we think that this devil is very powerful. And of course, he's a demon. Of course, he does very bad things, but we should understand that he is no comparison with the power and strength of our God. He is nothing, because when you look at this simple, regular angel is able to come down and get a hold of this Satan, bind him in the chain, and puts him into the bottomless pit. And verse number 3, it goes on and saying, "And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up." And that's what we see. Got a picture here showing the angel with the key to the bottomless pit. And we also see in this one here, the chains by which he binds up this Satan and throws him into the bottomless pit. And in this picture is a little bit more clearer. And this regular angel binds up Satan, which is otherwise known as the devil, or the serpent that tempted Eve in the Garden of Eden, and binds him and throws him into the bottomless pit for how long? For 1,000 years. Another picture here, we see him being thrown into the bottomless pit. Let's continue to verse number 3. And he says that he set a seal upon him. And the reason for that is he will not get out and deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosened a little season. Now, there are many that question, why does God allow Satan to be loosened up again? Now, it is not mentioned why, but we could speculate, we could think why that may be. If you look at this, during the tribulation time, he has full freedom and control, especially the latter half, which is the second half of the tribulation, which is called the Great Tribulation. And Satan is given full authority and control by God himself, so that he won't one day turn around and tell God, God, if you only would have given me that authority, I would have taken control. I could have defeated everything and even sat on that throne. And so that is just a speculative theory. It is not what the Bible doesn't say anything about that. But I'm just saying that that could be one of the many reasons why he is given that authority and why he is given that freedom to be loosened after the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Now we see that because he is bound and put in the bottomless pit, this Satan or this dragon does not bother during the 1,000-year reign. And although there's going to be some amount of crime and all of those, but there won't be anything that we experience in this world here today. And then in verse number 4, it says, and I saw thrones. Who is this I again? This is Apostle John. He has seen the thrones in the throne of God, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And these are, we have seen in the throne of God, 24 elders being seated there on the thrones, and they were given an opportunity and the authority to judge others. And it doesn't say who exactly they will judge, but Apostle John also says that he saw souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshiped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So we see that John sees the thrones of in heaven, and these thrones, that people that sat on them, we know those are the 24 elders, and they were given the authority to judge, and we do not know who, but they have the authority, were given the authority. And besides that, we see that Apostle John also saw the souls of those that were killed during the tribulation time for the witness of God, for the word of God, for the testimony of God, and for those which are these did not worship the beast, nor his image that was placed in the temple of God in Jerusalem, neither had they received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And what John saw was they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years, which is this millennial period of time. And then John continues to say, but the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. So who are these dead people? These are the people that have not made a commitment for Jesus Christ. These are the people that did not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so they remained dead for the next 1,000 years. And then John goes on to explain and says, this is the first resurrection. So we got to see, what is the first resurrection? So the first resurrection is in three stages. The first that resurrected is Jesus Christ, the first fruits, and he was the first one to be resurrected and not to die anymore. And part of the first resurrection and the second stage, the resurrection will be of the believers. Each one of us that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be resurrected at the rapture. And that is the second stage. And the third stage of the first resurrection will be those tribulation saints that continued their first, their steadfast trust in the Lord, and they will be resurrected, which is in the third stage of the first resurrection, and all the Old Testament saints will be resurrected. And this third stage of the first resurrection takes place at the end of the tribulation period. So we have covered the first resurrection. Verse number 6, it says, blessed and holy is he that had part in the first resurrection. Those that are resurrected, part of the first resurrection, they are blessed and they are holy, and they are the ones that have had a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, God himself. And he says, on such, those people that have had the first resurrection, there is no power of the second death. On such, it says, on such, the second death had no power. And these that were resurrected, it says, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So after the end of the tribulation period, after the resurrections of the tribulation saints and the Old Testament saints, we see that the Lord Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, ushers in the 1,000-year reign of Christ. But those that have not had a part in the part in the relationship with Jesus Christ, and those that were dead, they remain dead till the end of the 1,000 years. Let me see, we need to go to verse number 5. And it says, but the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. We did that, and we did verse number 6. Let's go to verse number 7. And it says, and when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of prison. So we see that at the end of the 1,000 years, the millennial reign of Christ, at the end of that, Satan will be loosed out of prison. That means his chain will be released and he will be let loose after the 1,000-year reign of Christ. And we talked about why that could be, although no reason for us is given. And what he will do is he will go out and deceive the nations. And we will see this in verse number 8. And it says, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, which means people in all quarters, all four areas of the earth, the Satan will go out and tempt them. And it mentions two words here. One is Gog and Magog. If you remember, Gog is means the leader or the czar or a prince. That is the word Gog means. And the prince of Magog. Magog is a land that is the northern north of Israel and comprises of possibly Russia and a few other nations around that, and part of the East European nations over there. And what they do is these Gog joins up with Satan, along with the nations of Magog and others, and they gather together to battle with whom? With God. You see, Satan is not done as yet, because he's still wanting a fight with God, you know? And the number of people that joins him at this time, if you see, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. That means it is so many. It's not able to be counted. That's what we see. You see, even during the reign of Christ Jesus in the millennial kingdom, there will be so much peace because Satan is bound. Although there'll be some kind of problems during that time, but nothing like what we experience in the world today. And we see when he is released, there is so many of these people that goes to fight against God. And look at verse number 9. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camps of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. That means God sent down fire from heaven, and all of these people that went against God, this is at the end of the 1,000-year reign of Christ Jesus, they were killed and they were devoured. That means they were killed by that fire. This is a picture of Satan here with his people from Gog and the leader Gog and the nations of Magog and the nations that have joined them to fight against God. And verse number 10 says, and the devil that deceived them were cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. Let me just stop here. And we noticed that at the end of tribulation, the devil, Satan, was chained, bound, sealed, and put into the deep abyss or into the bottomless pit. However, if you remember also the other two friends of his, which is the Antichrist that came up from the sea and the false prophet which came up from the earth, both of them were put into the lake of fire, which is the final resting place for those two, or for anyone that do not have a relationship with God. And now see what happened after God defeated devil once and for all. We find that he is now cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, along with the beast and the false prophet, and they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever, which means it is for eternity. They are not going to come out from the lake of fire. They will burn there, they will suffer there, and it says it will never end. And after that happens, we find another amazing and strange and very serious thing going to happen. And John sees a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. When Christ Jesus appears on this great white throne, the heaven and earth just passes away. And we see that he's seated on the throne. And soon we will see the dead that was not resurrected in the first resurrection. They will be resurrected in this, which is the second resurrection. And we will see what happens here. In verse number 12, it says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Look at this word, books is plural. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. So we see that the dead, whether they were small or great, prominent or not prominent, no matter what their position was, they were raised up. They were raised up and they stood before God, Christ Jesus. Can you imagine that when they see Christ Jesus on the great white throne, this is the same Jesus they have rejected. This is the same Jesus that they had nothing to do to have a relationship. They were given time. Mercy was afforded to them. Grace was afforded to them. Year after year, decade after decade was offered to them to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, but they refused to. And Jesus now opens, or Christ Jesus opens the books, and those names were not written in the book of life, they were thrown into their final resting place, which is the lake of fire, which is otherwise known as hell. Got a picture of these scrolls that was opened. It shows multiple scrolls here because it says books. We do not know how many books, but definitely more than one. And then it talks about the book of life. So we know a minimum of 2 to 3 and maybe even more, but we are not sure since it is not mentioned. And we also see in verse number 13, and the sea gave up the dead, which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead, which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. So here, this word hell is probably more like Hades, because what it says is, the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death, those were dead and buried, and those souls that had gone to the place of torment, which is Hades, they were then delivered up and they were judged. And it says in verse 14, and death and hell, or Hades, were cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. So all those that did not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, with Jesus on the throne, because God the Father has given all authority in heaven and in earth, and for him to judge, and his judgment was according to what was written in the book of life and in the other books, and those names were not found in the book of life, were thrown into the lake of fire. And this is their second death. And it says, and whosoever were not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Got some pictures showing their second death, which is the lake of fire. Another picture here, again, similar to that. Here, a man being thrown into the lake of fire, which is their final resting place, where they will burn every day of their life for eternity. And another picture, frightening as it is, but there are still people that will go against the belief in Jesus Christ. And these are the people that will face Jesus Christ on the great white throne, which is the judgment, the final judgment after the tribulation period. It reads here, then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. We still have a little time that ends Revelation chapter 20, and we will look at a few verses in Revelation chapter 21. We have completed, of course, now the 1,000-year reign of Christ, And as we come into Revelation 21, we are entering into eternity. Eternity, and it talks about the new heaven and the new earth and the bride of Christ. And in verse number one, it says, "And I saw," who saw? John, Apostle John, saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Now, want to mention to everyone that likes the beaches, the fine sandy beaches, the seas, the shores, the waves, and all of those, they might as well enjoy it now, because in eternity, there's not going to be sea anymore. And once we hear that there is no more sea, we know that we are entering into eternity itself. And when we look at that, it says it's a new heaven and new earth. And we will go with that because the previous heaven and the previous earth have passed away. It says for first heaven and the first earth were passed away. There was no more sea. And then in verse number two, we find that John sees the holy city, which is the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. Excuse me. Coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. So this new city that is seen here and the new Jerusalem is as the bride that is being lowered down or coming down from God out of heaven. This is not made by man. It is a gift of God to the bride. Look at that. What a beautiful scene that will be on the day when we see the descent of New Jerusalem coming down from God, from the throne of God. Another picture here. This is the New Jerusalem, the picture of the New Jerusalem. We will see this is the Dome of the Rock, the in Jerusalem itself on earth. But it's amazing to know that this New Jerusalem, as it comes down, it stays suspended in space. It does not touch the earth at all. It will be suspended in earth. The forces of gravity and all of those keep it suspended in such beautiful way that this does not have to be down on earth. Another picture of the New Jerusalem. We do not see in these pictures the magnificence, the beauty, and the glamour of these places of New Jerusalem. This is another picture pictured as New Jerusalem. Let me show one more and we will go to the next verse. And it says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death." In that eternity, life of our eternity, there will be no more tears, no more sorrows, no more death, none of those, no crying, and there is no more pain. So we see that all of these things that we go through in this life are passed away. There's no more to suffer pain, no more tears, no more death, no more sorrow. What a great thing that's going to be. We can be happy and joyous to know that there is soon coming a time that we will not have to go through sorrow, that we don't have to go through and face death of our loved ones, and there is no more crying and no more pain. You see, I've got a picture here. I was just looking at it. You know, in this world that we live in, there is so much of sorrow and tears and so much of suffering that we go through. That is part of life. Are there any that doesn't go through this? No. All of us at some time or the other during our life will go through that. We see a picture. This is a picture when Jesus on earth, he took care of the children and the others and wiped their tears away. We see in eternity, there will be no more tears. There will be no more sorrows. What a life that is going to be. And so it is so very important for us to let others that do not know Jesus as a Savior, that do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, to have them come into the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our responsibility is to tell them about Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit will speak with them and will take care of the rest. And in verse number 7, let me just make sure I did 6. No, verse number 6 or 5, and it says, "And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful." Now, did John miss something here? And if you look in the study, as we have looked, many times we have heard voices come from heaven, and many times we do not know whose voice that was. But here we see, hear the voice of God. "And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new." That means everything that he has made, he has got the new heaven, the new earth, and this beautiful, beautiful new Jerusalem coming from God, from the throne of God, suspended in space for the believers. And then it says, "And he said unto me, which is the one that sat upon the throne, which is God himself, told John specifically, Write, for these words are true and faithful," because the promises that has been stated will be fulfilled, so says God from the throne. And in verse number 6, "And he said unto me, It is done." It is finished. As you know, when Jesus mentioned this on the cross, he says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely." And so what he's saying is he will offer anything that is needed for people and offer them water of life when they are thirsty. And today, if there is someone that do not know Jesus as a Savior, or if we have family or friends that do not believe in Jesus Christ, or if they have backslidden, we got to pray for them first, and we should create or have the boldness to tell them prayfully about Christ Jesus and the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, because otherwise, what is going to be of them will be so sad, and we will have no control on them once they have finished or taken their last breath on this earth. And in verse number 7, he says, "He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." What a promise that is. Because how do we overcome? We overcome by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is how we overcome. And if and when we overcome, the promises that we will inherit everything. Today in this world, we may not have everything that we want or that we need. There are many millions of people that don't even have a meal today, but when they overcome and when they believe in Christ after their life on this earth, you know, God promises them that they will inherit all things. That is a promise from God. And God says, I will be his God and he shall be my son. What a promise. And he says in verse number 8, I will stop with this verse, but the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the warmongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You see, those that belong to Christ, those that come to Christ during this time of our life here, they will not face the second death. They will be part of the first resurrection. Holy are they, blessed are they that have part in the first resurrection. But all others that do not have a part in the faith in Jesus Christ, they will all go into the lake of fire, which is the second death. Let me close that now, and let me close with a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this time of study. Thank you, O Father, that we could complete the millennial kingdom time and the judgment, the great white throne judgment, and ushering us into eternity. There is no time there. There is no pain, no sorrow, no suffering, no death. So much of those, O Lord, that we go through on this earth, but we don't face that during eternity. We thank you for the promises and all the assurances that you have given to us, O Lord, in thy word. We believe thy word, and we pray that you would help us to live by thy word. Pardon us for our sins and our shortcomings, Lord Jesus, we pray. And if there is anyone that is listening today, if they do not know Jesus Christ as his Savior, we pray, O Lord, for their salvation so they can come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Once again, thank you for this time. Thank you for this hour. We ask all of these things in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen.